Title, Jesus Raises a Widow's Son, verse 11. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Four things this morning from this sermon, which I'm titling "Certainty in an Uncertain World." Four things. Number one, unbearable. Number two, unconditional. Number three, unbelievable. Number four, unforgettable. Unbearable, verses 1 to 11, which we see there. 1 to 11. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. The psalmist said from the psalm that Chris read earlier, verse 12, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Billy Graham said this to me the other day. "We're not masters of our own fate. We think we control our lives, but we aren't. In an instant, a car accident, a heart attack, a pink slip, a child with a raging fever, life can radically change. Frustrated researchers conquer one deadly virus only to discover one even more lethal." The psalmist pointed out our basic dilemma. The length of our days is 70 years or 80, if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow. For they quickly pass and we fly away. Even if we live to a ripe old age, he said, we seldom know peace. No book is more realistic about the human situation than the Bible. It won't let us get by with frothy platitudes or unsupported optimism, but it gives us hope. It tells us that Christ can change our lives and that he has prepared a perfect place in heaven for us. This issue has been on my mind a lot recently as I've met people who have been struggling. But you know, it's unbearable to the world, sometimes to us, the thought of old age. It's unbearable, the thought of illness. It's unbearable, the thought of having to go through pain and suffering. It's unbearable to think that one day our life is going to end. It can be unbearable. And you know, the world is at war. We're at war with that issue. We weren't created to die. None of us were. We were created to live forever. But sin came into the world and it destroyed what God made. So within us, we have this battle going on. I really do want to hold on to the good things of this life and enjoy the life that I've been given. But then on the other hand, we want to look forward to glory. We want to give it all up and be with our Saviour. There's a battle going on. Even for those of us that love the Lord Jesus Christ, that confess Christ as Saviour and Lord, we have a battle going on. But in the world, those people who don't have Christ in their lives, they have a battle going on too. This is all they have. And they don't want to let go of what they have now. There's a battle going on. And it's unbearable, the thought of losing what they have here and now. You know, I was in America last week, a week before last, as many of you know. And on one particular morning, me and Flo was with me, and we bobbed down to the shopping mall. She had to get a gift for a young man in her church. And if you've ever been down the shopping malls, I don't know what it's like your way, but you go down the shopping malls there and you're accosted by people who want to sell you skincare products. Yes? And they're so, I mean, they are slick the way that they trap you and get you into their shops. And I was walking along with Flo and this very camp guy, lovely fella actually, but his camp guy comes up and he says, "What products do you use for your skin?" Like that. I looked at him, I said, "I'm sorry." He said, "What products do you use for your skin?" I said, "I don't use anything." He said, "Oh, come on, what do you use?" I said, "Soap." Anyway, so then he looked at Flo and he said, "What do you use for your skin, madam?" Like this. Anyway, he worked his magic and got us inside the shop. And I'm saying, "Listen, we haven't got long. We're on our way." It's okay. I won't be long. Like, give me your hand. And he give him his hand and he starts to put this cream on. I said, "Listen, I haven't got long." So he said, "Well, okay. Madam." Forget him. His skin's got, there's no hope for him. You can't be changing him, no matter what you do. And it moved on to Flo. And he talked around and he got this cream and he started rubbing the cream on her cheeks. And I said, "My goodness, look how you look like a 15-year-old, Flo." It's amazing, this product that he's put on her face. But do you know, it's true, it's not just in America, all over the world now, people are craving beauty. You've got 70-year-olds looking like 30-year-olds. It's amazing what an injection can do. Do you know what I mean? You know, whatever you want tuck in and sort, they can sort it. Injections galore. Big bum, big boob, big cheeks, big lips, whatever you want. We can sort it with a bit of Botox. Flo was tingling all day and I said, "Look." I said, "You look like you got two balls on your face." Incredible. No wrinkles, just swelled out face. But you know, that's the battle. That's part of the battle I'm talking about. It really, really is. It is unbearable to think that one day the wrinkles are going to take over our faces, or our bottom's going to be down the bottom of our pants, or whether we're going to be walking around, aren't we? Do you know what I mean? It's true. It's unbearable to think it's going to be like that. But it is going to be like that.
It is like that.
It is like that. For many of us, it's not like that. But for some of you, it is like that. But it's unbearable. It's unbearable. The world is clinging on to the youth. They're clinging on to what is here now, and it's unbearable. But what do we see here in this story? We see something here that's unbearable. Because this widow is having to face the unbearable. Here, the widow has got a situation in front of her where it's an unbearable loss. She's distressed, she's isolated, she's vulnerable. Let's put this into context. This woman, she grows up in this little town of Nain, a few miles south of Nazareth. Jesus knows this area really well. She grows up there. She's betrothed to be married to a gentleman who works in the town. They get together, they fall in love. Start to build their home together. And one day the wonderful news, we're going to have a baby. Great. And he's born a lovely son. A beautiful little baby boy is born. And this little boy grows and he's playing with his friends in the town. He grows to be a young boy. And one day he dies. Dad dies. Leaving mom and little boy together. And dad has been long since buried in the tomb. Bones lie in the tomb. And then her son, we don't know how old he is, but her son then gets poorly, or maybe he dies. We don't know, but he dies. So she's left without her husband who is supporting her. And now she's left without her son, the son that took his place to care for her in the home. And that's what Jesus did. He understands. When Joseph died, Jesus took his father's place and cared for the whole family. And this is where we find her. This is where we find her, lost. With this unbearable pain, not just of losing her dear husband, but now losing her son. Unbearable. It's unbearable. Her husband's gone and her son's gone. What hope is there for this lady? What hope was there? But then point two, unconditional. Look at verse 13 with me. When the Lord saw her, and this is the first time the word Jesus is described as the Lord. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and he said, "Don't cry. Don't cry." Isn't it beautiful? Beautiful Saviour we have. Jesus, he's approaching the town. So he knows the area well. Don't know if he knows his family or not, but he's coming and there's this huge crowd following him. It's an amazing scene. This massive crowd all heading off towards this little village. And then in the town, in the village, there's another crowd coming out of the village. And what can Jesus hear? He hears mourners. He hears people crying and wailing. And then he sees the crowd. And he sees all of these people and people crying and wailing. And then he sees this body being carried. He sees this body being carried along on the bier. He sees that. And then at the front of all of that, he sees the mother weeping amongst all of these people. That's what he sees. He hears and he sees. And he sees the mother's distress. He sees her. He sees her tears. And what is it for him? His heart breaks. His heart breaks for her. Don't cry. Don't cry. It's an amazing situation. You know, in these times, often even the poor people would pay mourners to come and mourn with the family. And I think there's something quite beautiful in that. Tom Wright describes this about these professional mourners and the scene here. He says, "The professional mourners and wailers are there, making plenty of noise so that friends and relatives, and in particular the poor mother, can cry their hearts out without the embarrassment of making a scene all by themselves. How much kinder a system than the clinical detached solemnity of a modern Western funeral." And there's something beautiful about that, actually. Have you ever been in a place where you've been crying and you felt so alone? Because nobody else around you is crying. But you wanted to hold it together because we're British. You know what I mean? You know, week before last, I was saying to one or two folks, it was very distressing to meet the Castle family, who are really an extension of our family, very close. And when I left there, it was very hard to leave there. And I was flying for the weekend in Cleveland at Pete's parents, and we had a lovely time up there. But I had a connection to make at Houston. And I made the connection there, and I rung home, spoke to the family, and I was overwhelmed with tears, and I just was crying in the waiting room for the next plane. And I had my head down, and I was crying, and I was talking to the phone, saying, "I have to go, I can't talk." So I put the phone down, and I was weeping. And I felt so alone and so stupid in the middle of this hangar with people all around. I was very aware of the Lord's presence, though. I was very aware of his presence. You may have been in a situation like that when you've been crying, and you thought, "What are people thinking about me sat here?" Here, this lady didn't have to worry about that. There was all of these mourners around her, crying with her, broken for her. Some would have known the boy, some wouldn't. But she would have felt safe within that group as she mourned. And Jesus sees all of that. I want us to see briefly two things from this unconditional love of Christ, this unconditional part of this sermon this morning. Jesus sees the widow, and he sees a widow now without a son. And he understands what that means for her. How's she going to cope without somebody bringing in the bread? How's she going to cope? How are people going to see her in that community? You know, widows have a very special place in the heart of God. They have. Right back in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, set down in the laws, widows, orphans, aliens were proclaimed as being people that we should care for. That we should look out for. Deuteronomy 24:19. Deuteronomy 26:12. Reading for yourselves. God says, "You take out of your tithe and care for these people." Why? Because they can be vulnerable. Isolated. And this woman in this first century town was going to be left all alone without anybody to look after her. God says, "You care for these people." Jesus' heart went out to her. In Albania, right now, we learnt about a lady out there. She's a widow. And one of the things that's being accused at her is she's a strange, immoral woman. She isn't. She's a very godly woman. But because she didn't take another husband, people have very strange ideas. She's a widow. all alone, apart from the Lord, to cope with what she has to face for. The second thing we see here is this woman didn't ask for help. This woman didn't call out, "Jesus, I need you. I know you can do something for my boy." She didn't say anything like that at all. You know, unlike the faith of the centurion, which you read in the previous passage, here you've got right at the beginning of chapter 7, the faith of the centurion. The centurion went to Jesus, and do you remember his servant was ill, was dying, and he went, "I know you can heal my servant. All you have to do, Jesus, is say a word." What did Jesus say to him? He said, "Because of your great faith, it's done." The centurion said to Jesus, "You don't even have to come to my house. All you have to do is say it." And he said it, and it was done. And like the leper, that leper went to Jesus and he said, "If you are willing, I know you can make me clean." And Jesus did it because of the faith of the leper. There was no faith required here. Jesus saw the widow. She didn't even ask, and he went across to her. Jesus came looking for her, and he met her need. Jesus' unconditional love and his unconditional compassion went out to her. And you know, God blesses us the same. And many times we don't even realize it. So many times God comes to us and blesses us without us even asking, because of his unconditional, unbelievable love and compassion. He meets us most beautifully and wonderfully through his Son, Jesus Christ. He comes to us, gives us peace, gives us what we need when we need it. And you know, as I was thinking about this, God also comes to us through people. Sometimes you can be used as a means of God's grace. When somebody comes and gives you a word of encouragement, "Can I help you with that? Can I go and get you shopping? Can I do whatever for you?" That's you being sent without being asked. Go, do it. And there's another P. Pets. You think that sounds daft? I don't think so. God sends people and pets to be a blessing. I know that in my own family. Did you watch Children in Need the other night? There's some amazing dogs giving hope and life to children. He sends people and pets. No more special than his precious Son. And finally, places. Have you got a place that's special to you where you can go and you can just feel so at peace or so close to the Lord in that place? I remember the first time I climbed Scafell Pike. It was a beautiful sunny day. And I felt so close to the Lord at that moment. I thought, wow. There's a places too where you can go where the Lord speaks to you. But you know, the Lord comes to us so many times and we don't even ask. Thirdly, unbelievable. Look at this with me. Verse 14 and 15 here. "Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, 'Young man, I say to you, get up.' The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother." Unbelievable, isn't it? What an unbelievable scene. This isn't made up stuff. This is real. Jesus really did this. First thing he did here, which is unbelievable, he went up and touched the bier. Now the bier was like the frame or the platform that the body was laid upon and would carry the body along. And he went up and he touched the bier. That's a no-no, you don't do that. Who was Jesus? He was a holy man. He was a religious leader. All these people following him along saw him as this great prophet. Some saw him as the Messiah, but he was clean, he was holy. And he went and touched the bier. You don't do that. And by doing that, he made himself unclean. It was shocking to the guys carrying the bier. That's why they all stopped. What was going on here? It was shocking, but it was unbelievable. Jesus, the holy man, the perfect clean one, comes and touches the bier and makes himself unclean. And you know, that's a picture of God sending Jesus, his pure Son, his clean, sinless Son, down into this sin-ridden, filthy world to meet you and me, to save you and me. That's what Jesus was doing here, making himself unclean, just as he did by coming from heaven to earth. But his love was so unbelievable, he didn't care. His love was so unbelievable for you and me, he didn't care. He came to do that for you. The second thing that's unbelievable is this: the boy was raised to life. The boy was dead. He wasn't playing dumb. He wasn't playing sleeping lions. He was dead. And he was raised to life. Jesus says to the boy, to the man, he says, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And he gets up. And just to prove that he was alive, starts talking. I wonder what he talked about. You know? But it's an incredible scene here to see Jesus coming down in tears, broken for this widow, broken for this boy, knowing the situation, comes and gets hold of the buyer. "Don't cry, my love, don't cry. Boy, young man, get up. Get up." And then he gets up. It's incredible. Jesus in that moment proves to the whole world that he's the master over even death. Not even death has power over Jesus. He can do the most unbelievable things through his unconditional love. And then thirdly this. Before a person, you know, accepts Jesus as Savior and Lord, he or she is dead. Dead to sin. Just as dead as that boy was on that bier that day. Dead to sin. But you know, by faith in Jesus, we are raised to new life. By hearing his voice, by seeing him, we're raised to new life. When Jesus raised the boy to new life that day, Jesus also gave life to the mum too. Beautiful. The whole picture is so beautiful. He knew her plight. He knew her situation. He raised him to life, gave her life, and then gave her son back to him. Here's your boy. Here's your boy. It was unbelievable for him. It was unbelievable for her. You know, the sad reality is this. That boy's not alive anymore. He died again. And she died. I'm sure she went first this time. And he went second, I'm sure. But you know, when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose never to die again. His resurrection was once and for all. For all those who confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, we will enjoy that reality with him. We'll be raised to life never to die again. To live with him for eternity. People I met with lost a dear friend, a dear father, just a few months ago. Some of you know what it's like to lose loved ones. The wonderful reality is this: if they love the Lord, they rest safe and at peace in Jesus' loving arms right now. No more suffering, no more sadness, no more mourning. That mourning's really reserved for us until we're gone and then the next generation mourn for us. But if we love Christ, we're safe in his loving arms. And as the Bible says, when Jesus returns in a twinkling of an eye, in a moment, we shall be reunited. First of all, with our precious Savior, the one who has saved us, but secondly, with those we love. Isn't that precious? That we'll be raised to life and enjoy eternity, worshipping, rejoicing, playing, racing cars, Andrew, whatever you want to do, with those we loved. It's just wonderful. It's unbelievable. But you better believe it. And then finally, unforgettable. Look at verse 16 with me here. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared amongst us," they said. "God has come to help his people." Unforgettable. The ESV says, "God has met with his people." He certainly did meet with them that day. You know, Nat King Cole sung a song called Unforgettable. Chris could sing it really well with his lovely voice, but I ain't singing nothing. He goes, "Unforgettable, that's what you are. Unforgettable, though near or far. Like a song of love that clings to me, how the thought of you does things to me. Never before has someone been so more. Unforgettable in every way and forevermore, that's how you'll stay." Unforgettable. God met with these people that day, and it was unforgettable. We're still talking about it today. When God sent Jesus into the world, it was unforgettable. It was never to be the same again. And when God meets with us, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, it's unbelievable. And it's unforgettable. The people here were filled with awe and wonder at what they saw. Wouldn't we be? They rejoiced and they praised God. It was unforgettable. Let me ask you a question. How often do we really praise God? And how often do we sit in awe at what God has done for us? How often? I think I'm guilty and would say I probably don't do it anywhere near enough. But we should. We must rejoice. We must remember. We must reflect on what God has done for us. And we must praise God for His amazing love for us. But just to close, you know, we know pain and sorrow for all of us will come, just as it did for the widow. For some, it's here right now. But the Saviour who raised the boy is our Saviour. He's our Saviour. The holy man who made himself unclean lives in the mess that we live in right now. The God who understands everybody's needs and everybody's circumstances knows your needs too. He doesn't leave you to suffer without any hope. He doesn't leave us to lie in the grave for eternity. He doesn't do that. No, Jesus comes to you and me this day and He says, get up. Get up. Live in me. He comes to you and me today if you're grieving. He says, don't cry. Our hope is greater than this. And we must trust in His unfailing love when faced with big problems. Bill Bygroves a few years ago wrote this song. And the words of this song go like this. Lord, grant unto me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. And grant me courage, Lord, to change the things I can, and wisdom how to know the difference. Oh, make me brave for life, braver than this. Life brings unto me such painful things. Help me straighten after pain, as trees straighten after rain. Standing tall, shining, and lovely again. Lord, make me strong for life. Stronger than this. Life brings unto me such blinding things. Oh, help me keep my sight. Please help me see aright, that out of the darkness comes the light. I walk a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way. I was none the wiser for all she had to say. But I walked a mile with sorrow. Never a word spoke she. But oh, the things I learnt that day when sorrow walked with me. Lord, grant unto me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. And grant me courage, Lord, to change the things I can. And wisdom how to know the difference. Oh, give me grace to rise from sorrow with cried eyes. Knowing that Thy will, O Lord, is wise. You know, find peace in the truth that Jesus comes, even when we don't ask Him, His unconditional love. Even when the trials of this life are unbearable, remember, Jesus' love is unconditional. His miracles are unbelievable, and His power is unforgettable. Let us just pray together.